So maybe we don't like the idea that internet news sites and social network sites intrude on our privacy and collect our data. We nevertheless do like that those sites are free, and they're free because they make money selling our data. But now there's something else to dislike, a process called data scraping, whereby third-party companies use automated software to try and scrape our information from our favorite sites and internet forums and even resume sites like Monster.com. And the scrapers offer no free service in exchange for that data. Our information is just swiped. Julia Angwin, senior technology editor for The Wall Street Journal, has written about data scraping. Julia, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
So, could you start with the opening anecdote in your piece earlier this month? Tell us what happened on May 7th.
There's a website called Patients Like Me, and patients with a whole host of different diseases, ranging from really serious terminal cancer to depression, gather to talk about their experiences with their disease and talk about the drugs they're using. On May 7th at 1 a.m., a new member joined the Mood Forum, which is a place where people talk about pretty serious depression, and started cutting and pasting all the posts from that forum. This turned out to be a robot. They traced the scraping to Nielsen Company, which is, most people know them as their TV rating service, but they also have a service called Buzz Monitoring, where they, quote, listen to the conversations on the web and tell their clients how are they being talked about. So their clients include all of the top pharmaceutical companies. But Nielsen, since they were caught doing it, they said that they weren't going to use the data.
How is the data that's been scraped most often used?
So the thing about scraping is that it can be legitimate. In some ways, what Google does when it searches the web to make its index of links is a kind of scraping. But there are people out there trying to get every single different type of data. So Nielsen is trying to, quote, listen to conversations and monitor them. Then you have companies that are trying to build up their databases about individuals. So they might be looking for your name and address so they can put it on some mailing list for junk mail, or there might be a spammer who's trying to get your email address. So the world of scrapers is an unruly one, and it ranges from completely legitimate to completely illegitimate.
What about legal recourse? Is there any?
There are three different ways you can fight against a scraper. You can allege that they've stolen copyrighted material. You can allege essentially that they've trespassed on your property. If you're the website owner, your website is sort of your property. And you can also allege that they've broken a contract. So if they click, you know, those little things where it says, I agree, and there's some long list of thing that you never read. If they clicked that in order to get into an area of the site and that said no scraping, then they can also allege. So there are a lot of cases, but the problem is that the rulings have been contradictory. Sometimes courts have said, you know, it's not really trespass because you actually want people to come to your website. So you can't choose which people you want.
The data scrapers definitely come off as the bad guys in your piece. But as you note, Google engages in a kind of data scraping. What's the harm?
I mean, the case with Patients Like Me is a perfect example, right? Where you feel like you're safe. You've entered some CAPTCHA, you've joined an account, you've signed some terms of service. And then if some scraper breaks in, steals all that and puts it up for sale, it feels like a violation.
But it's still all public information, right? I mean, if we found our way to Patients Like Me, then so can anyone else. There's no lock on the door. That's the nature of the web.
It used to be that if you were sitting alone in your house, basically everything you did was automatically private. But now we basically have these transmission lines where things you do while you're sitting alone and you feel like you're alone are actually going out into the universe instantaneously in real time before you have a chance to sort of have a second thought about maybe that wasn't a good idea to hit post. And so now we have to decide as a society what kind of world we want to live in. Like, shouldn't we have takedown notices for our own data? You know, Warner Music can go and get a takedown notice for any video that has their song in it.
Some might say, look, you don't have to use your real name. And yet there's this company called PQ LLC, which has just applied for a patent that would use information about you that's scattered all over the web to match your real name with whatever pseudonym you might use on a place like Twitter. Does that presage the end of internet anonymity?
There's a world of people out there who sell data about individuals, and every additional piece of data they can get means they can put a higher price tag. So for them, the effort it takes to match your Twitter name or your MySpace name, which you think is anonymous, that's a business opportunity, and they're going to pursue it.
In this chaotic internet ecosystem where there's more value to a targeted ad than there may be to a 30-second broadcast commercial, isn't this just part of the natural evolution of the commercial, which supports most of the free media that we love?
It may be that the future of advertising is that every ad says your name in it and they know everything about you. That would be, I think, the dream of a lot of advertisers. The question is it a dream for us as consumers? I worry, though, about a world where everything is known about you, so all you see reflected back is yourself. Where's the serendipity? Isn't that the nature of going on the internet, is to find out about the rest of the world? So I worry about that, that you would live in a hall of mirrors.
Julia, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Julia Angwin is the senior technology editor for WallStreetJournal.com.